At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Listen and soak it in.
You're tapped into the fantasy pipeline with Dan and Mike from South Harmon, the show built to uncover tomorrow's dynasty stars today.
Sanders in a pocket. Oh, what a catch! Travis Hunter! Give him the Heisman now!
Number four. On 35. Power will throw it underneath.
Oh, it's picked off! Down the sideline! Unbelievable touchdown! Penn State! Zion Tracy!
Toward the end zone! For the game! It is! Caught by Wester! Just like 1994!
Welcome in, everyone, to episode 6 of the Fantasy Pipeline. Sorry, I've been MIA for the last like 2 weeks. Work sent me to Upper Wisconsin, and I've been working 10-hour days the past 13 days straight. So by the time I get home, I was kind of just like dead. But we're finally back, and back with me again today is my amazing co-host, Mike. Mike, how's it going, man?
It's going well, man. Speaking of Wisconsin, I know you were having not a good time up there. Iowa left that state on Saturday, making sure that nobody in Wisconsin had a good time.
Yes, sir, they did. Yes, they did.
I did not see that one coming, that's for sure.
I thought y'all was going to win, but not like that. That was a beatdown.
Oh, that was nuts. Absolutely nuts. But yeah, welcome back. 2 weeks off.
What'd you guys score, like 40 points or something on them?
Yeah, it was crazy, man.
Like, you still just only completed like 13 passes or something like that?
Doesn't matter. We'll figure out one day that the forward pass exists.
Yeah. Hey, if you're going to keep winning 38 to nothing, then, I mean, who cares?
Can't hate on it, especially do it against Wisconsin. You know, Iowa right. State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, those are the big ones every single year for us. Minnesota likes to think they're our rival, but they're our little bitch, so... No,
damn. Not. The shade thrown around tonight. I like it.
Listen, I mean, when we won our first share of the Big Ten championship back in 2000, and it's in Minnesota Stadium in the Metrodome, and our fans storm their field and rip down their goalposts and take them out of the dome, we've established the alpha of who runs that so-called rivalry. It's not much.
That is fair. That is brutal. Damn. Well, all right. Well, you want to start the recap of some of the other games that are kind of exciting as well? We had actually a bunch of good games this weekend. We had a lot of stuff going on. So,
yeah, I really loved having to work for most of it. It was a great time.
Oh, dude, I was driving 12 and a half hours that day. Plus, I stopped for lunch, and there was a lot of football being watched while I was cruising on down the highway.
Allegedly.
Yeah. You're right. A lot of football being listened to. Let's cruising on down the highway. Yeah. There we go. All right. Well, we'll start off with the one. My boys, Ohio State takes care of business, beats Illinois. I was actually in Chicago with our boy Cheese Sticks watching the end of this game, but we took care of business. Nothing really too much to take away here, just nice to see them beat a ranked team.
Yeah, they did their thing. I think what's been most surprising is how good Saiyan's kind of been all year. Mm-hmm. You know, I see some of the C2C guys, you know, still talking about they don't see it with him. Like, but I thought he's looked pretty impressive. They were really glazing him on the broadcast about how well he's played. Didn't have to do too much. The defense was kind of the story. Took care of Illinois. Wasn't really a threat. The offense just had to do just enough. I will say, though, the past couple of weeks, though, I feel vindicated, man. Like, I felt like I was on an island with, you know, Carnell Tate potentially being wide receiver one of this upcoming class. That kid can ball. He can really ball. I know he gets overshadowed by the legend, you know, that is Jeremiah Smith. It's tough, but how many years do we got to see this trend where a lesser-known Ohio State wide receiver, when he gets to the NFL, turns out he's pretty damn good too, right?
Right.
There's always a superstar that they got to compete against, but the number two options never seem to be that bad at Ohio State. They're pretty damn good NFL wide receivers, so looks like Carnell Tate's going to continue that. The way he runs routes with his height, you know, he's put together. I mean, he's like 6'3", looks like he's about 200 pounds. The kid can absolutely run routes, nice body control, so he's really picked it up here these last few weeks. Didn't have to do a whole lot, but 4 catches, 41 yards, had a nice highlight catch.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, no, he's been nice, and like you said, man, this wide receiver room just keeps chucking out solid NFL wide receivers. So love to see that. What's it called? The next one on my list is Bama survives Missouri. Did you peek at this one at all?
Didn't get to watch much of that. Was trying to bounce back and forth with the limited time I did have to the important ones. And we had a few upsets this week. You know, we had a couple big storylines. So the Bama-Missouri game wasn't at the forefront, even though it should be. Two ranked teams, and Missouri hung with them. And actually, they did. You know, yeah.
They had a chance to win it there at the end. They came down the field. He threw a pick. But they were driving, man. And I thought they might pull it off. I was rooting for it. I was watching the end of that.
Yeah, the wide receiver at the bottom of the formation was wide, wide open, too, on that last play, too. I mean, there wasn't anybody within 20 yards of the kid.
He was throwing his arms up and down, jumping up and down, yep. Mad. He's like, why?
Why do it? Yep. I guess you call it Bama. Bama escapes, right? Keeps their playoff hopes very, very much alive.
I wrote survive, so same thing. We're on the same page on that one. They survived, barely. But they did, so get the check mark there. Brooks, the true freshman, looked good as well. Got 4 for 58. Like to see that. He's fast.
He better with no Ryan Williams. Better step up. They're going to need it. I don't think Isaiah Horton's that dude.
Nah, I don't think he is. How about your boy, though?
Yeah, Jeremy's kind of been quiet here lately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Starting to look more like how I feel about him than versus you feel about him. So, you know. Yeah.
I had a couple weeks, sir. We'll see how he balances out here at the end.
Simpson looked pretty good, though. I don't know if you peeked at all some of his throws, but he had a few nice throws. I mean,
right?
He's not amazing, but he's looked better than me, especially some of the throws that he's made that I've been like quality. I'm like, wow, kid's got an arm.
I have a problem with that body type at quarterback, right? Like that Miller Moss build. That's what I'm gonna call it.
Miller Moss build.
Yeah, like they're the only people when they go create a player on College Football or Madden, they choose a skinny body type. Like, gross.
Yeah, I feel that. That's funny. But yeah, he actually didn't look horrible, so I was kind of impressed with that. Next game, oh boy, Florida State loses to Pitt.
Dude, what a collapse here lately for Florida State, man. It was a good story, and now it's just, now we're right back to saying Mike Norvell needs to get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. The magic seems to have run out. It stinks. I was hoping they were going to do something this year. It was really fun watching them earlier, watching them beat Bama, and it was.
I think so fun. I think in the passing game, they're still just too limited. I mean, they did it against Pitt's backup quarterback, too. There's no Holstein in this game. You know, they had no answer on defense for covering.
Did he get benched? Yeah. I thought he got benched.
No, he didn't start the game. Well, he might have got benched.
Right? Yeah. But I don't think he played because he got benched. Yeah.
But, they had no answer for covering Desmond Reed out of the backfield. Just none. I mean, right. It gave me nightmares of Christian McCaffrey in the Rose Bowl versus Iowa a few years back. Just like, yeah, we're just going to put a linebacker on him. Good luck. Yeah. Just watch him get continually cooked. So,
speaking of which, he had 8 receptions for 155 yards and 2 tutties. Like, yeah. Ouch.
And they did a fair job bottling up the running backs in the running game. Like, it was a fair one, but they had no answer for quarterback scrambles, and they had no answer for Desmond Reed in the passing game. And then the offense, you know, they're built on a ground game, and they're built on spreading it around, which still continue to work, and they rely on Castellanos to make a lot of plays. And while it was fun earlier in the season, you can really see just the lack of receiving weapons that they have. Like, you take Deuce Robinson out of the equation, and it's just, like, who are you really scared of? Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, Danzy did step up this week. He had 7 for 133 and 2, so they had one guy step up. That was about it, though.
That was it.
Nobody else had more than 2 catches, so it was kind of brutal.
Yep. Losing to Pitt, not good, right? And all of a sudden, we looked at a national championship contending team, and now they have 3 losses. They're 500. Here we are. Woof.
Yeah, it stinks. That stinks, because they were kind of like this fun storyline in the beginning of the year. I was really, really rooting for them.
So. Well, this one looks like it's over, though. We won't have to worry about them in the playoffs. Kurt Street's doing dances in the street.
next game we're talking about here is the exact opposite. It is UCLA smashing Michigan State, bro. What are they back? What's going on here, man?
It looks like they're just riding that high. They fire their coach. It's all the feel-good stories, like the Rick Neuheisel's kid is the one who's Jerry. leading the offense, right? The media is a little bit too focused on him instead of the actual interim head coach, but it is what it is.
But it's such a cool story, though. This
he
played for the team, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Comes back to coach his team. He got carried off the field one time when he was a player. Now he's getting carried off as a coach. It's like, it's so cool.
And with these last couple of games, it's like all those Nico shares that we all have at C2C all of a sudden aren't just completely burnt money. At the early part of the season, it was like, oh no.
He's looked good, man. Like, watching that game, like, that, there's been some creative play calling. Like, he looks pretty good.
And they're really able to run the ball. I mean, both Berger and Thomas.
They could not run the ball, though, at first.
Yeah.
Like, I dropped their running back how bad they were playing. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, well, this is pointless. This is going nowhere. And then they fired their coach, and it's like, oh, wait, now I got a run game again.
I had a lot of Javion Thomas shares that mm-hmm. are now just out there floating on the waiver wire. You know what I mean? Same. Like, just had no interest in it. And then the surprise to Jalen Berger, like, it feels like this guy's been around forever. Speaking of Wisconsin at the start of the show, man, that's where he started. Feels like he's been here for playing college football for like 97 years, like that McCormick kid out of Miami the last year.
Yeah. But, I mean, who does UCLA plays next? Dude, I wonder what's going on. Like, how do you even think about this team now? Because it's like a totally different team.
It does feel like a totally different team, but we also know Penn State is a shit show. I mean, just absolutely terrible. That was a win, and Michigan State can just not ever get it right. They just can't figure out how to get consistency out of Aiden Childs and get that offense fuming. So, I don't know. You look at UCLA, Maryland, Indiana, Nebraska, Ohio State, Washington, USC. 2 wins, nice stories. I'm going to go out on a limb and I say they don't get another win the rest of the year.
I mean, but what if they do?
They get a win. Dude. It might be Maryland, but they're losing to the rest of those dudes.
If they beat Indiana or Ohio State, that'd be pretty crazy.
Listen, if we get to Ohio State and they have beaten Maryland, Indiana, and Nebraska, I'm going to start believing.
That's fair.
Strictly, I don't care what the spread is of that game. I'm putting money line on UCLA versus Ohio State.
Bro, I might have to start putting money lines on UCLA just period until they lose.
Man, just ride the streak.
Riding the streak.
Oh. What is it, the old major league? We've won 2 games in a row. If we win again tomorrow, that makes 3 in a row. That's what they call a winning streak. It has happened before.
Bro. Oh, my God. All right. Next one. Ole Miss surviving, what's it called, Washington State. Nothing too crazy here, just another close game. They squeaked out the win. So just wanted to bring that up. We had a lot of these like close games. A lot of these guys were almost upsets, and the ranked teams are barely squeaking out some wins. So
riding the struggle bus. Yeah, there's a lot of riding the struggle bus.
There's usually a lot of upsets this week too. So it was nice to see some of these guys held strong and squeaked out these wins. So Ole Miss is one of the ones that survived as well. But
yeah, my favorite, Colorado upsetting the Cyclones, handing them the second straight loss.
They're on my list as well. Yeah, Colorado, yeah, beat Cyclones. So you can cross that one off to talk about. But yeah, I want to talk about that one too. I'm like, I know my boy would be excited to see that.
Yes. Excellent.
Excellent. And then Indiana versus Oregon.
Did not see this one coming.
I didn't see this coming, first of all, as well.
Nope. I caught some of the game in the first half, and it looked like Oregon was kind of doing their thing, and I was like, okay, you know, it's a closer game than they want, but Oregon's going to pull away here, right? They're kind of holding them down. Wrong. Big wrong. Majorly wrong.
Bro.
Indiana going into Autzen Stadium and doing that. Wow.
Yeah. Dude, Kurt fucking Cignetti, man. That was – what a game, dude. It was back and forth all game. And then to watch them just, like, close it out, man, it was really – impressive.
It is going to be a major travesty if Penn State does not back up the fucking Brinks truck to whatever the hell Kurt Cignetti wants. I don't care what it is. If Penn State wants to be relevant again, here's your man on a silver platter. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
I mean,
they got that Adidas money now, starting in like 6 months.
Kind of got like who else is even available? Is there any like big names that are available that I can off the top of your head? I'd have to really look, but
no.
Other than him, man, I don't know who else is around that's better.
The only thing I could see is maybe that North Texas coach.
That's
just
fair.
Just because if you look at, I saw that somebody post about the timeline of like his quarterbacks that he's had. Right. And just shitting out like, holy hell, found money. Right. He was the guy who had Cam Ward at Incarnate Word. Mm-hmm. He's the one who had John Mateer at Washington State. You know, like this guy is just out here just developing. What's it? Metzger right now in North Texas. Absolutely fucking cooking. So yeah, maybe there is something to it. Right. You want to develop a quarterback.
Maybe let's have a fun fucking offense for Penn State for once. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, something Iowa's been wanting forever. So,
yeah,
fuck them.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's actually a really good idea. I wonder if he'd go there. Maybe they look at him.
Depends on how much money they're willing to pay.
That's fair. Well, I mean, they paid Franklin quite a bit of money still. So,
yeah. I did see in his contract though, he's required to look for another coaching job or broadcasting job. And then Penn State just pays the difference in the salary up to $8 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's makes it easier to stomach then.
I don't know what the terms are of, you know, how hard he has to look for another job. You know what I mean?
Watch, hope we get like a job at like Burger King or something. And pick up 8 hours here and there. Y'all pay the difference.
I'll see if James Franklin wants a job on South Harmon, you know, podcasting. It's in broadcasting.
It's a broadcasting job. What's up?
We'll pay him $1 a year, you know, so he can get $7.99999 million from Penn State.
Right. Love it. Speaking of Mateer, they lost to Texas this week. I did not see that one coming at all. Not at all.
Arch Manning still looks terrible, and yet Oklahoma wasn't in this game ever. So weird.
I mean, I know Mateer sat for technically like 2 weeks, so tiny bit of rust, but man, he did not look good. The team didn't look good. They just look lost. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they just did not look like the Oklahoma you expected in the biggest game on their schedule.
Right.
So far, it was.
I mean, you have the biggest rivalry on their schedule. It's versus an unranked Texas team that's falling apart right now, and you come out and just lay an egg versus them. It was confusing.
Yeah, very strange. Very strange too. Also, the other thing I get it. We like tradition and the whole thing too, but you know, this was one of the biggest games on the slate. Why the fuck is a Red River rivalry at noon on Saturdays? Like, why can't we never get that thing, you know, night game? Like, come on. Let's nighttime up the Red River rivalry every now and then.
I mean, that's fair. And it's a big rivalry, two big schools.
You know, they like to do it during state fair time, the whole thing, but still, come on. Come on, let's play a night game one time.
That's fair. Yeah, you're right. That is weird. That is weird now that I'm thinking about it.
There's something about these big time games and these big time rivalries when they happen at night. It just feels like there's more at stake.
It's like more prime timey. It's
yeah.
It's fun. I'm with you. That is a little bit odd that they had it in the middle of the day. But oh well. It does. So that's a bummer. I wonder how much it was Mateer's injury kind of still affecting him. I don't know, man, but it did not look good.
Yeah.
And honestly, it wasn't even just him, man. The whole team looked off. It was a total collapse. Everybody.
I had no real answer for slowing down to a good extent the running game in Texas. They just kind of.
Yeah, Wisner, you know, they made Wisner look actually decent.
Yep. Which is tough to do.
Which is weird. Yeah. Oh, well. Next one. On to the next one. The Penn State boys finally lose a game. Enough games to get James Franklin fired. Yeah. So, they lose to Northwestern. Honestly, I didn't really get to watch much of this game. I was at close to the end of my drive or middle of my drive. And it didn't really get to listen to much of this game.
At least we don't have to hear about James Franklin anymore, you know, right, at Penn State, right? We don't have to be frustrated that they have all this talent and yet still can't devise a passing game. And I don't have to hear about this fucking offensive coordinator that everybody was touting last year as this genius just because he drew up a couple of fucking trick plays, you know, with the tight end playing center. Like, the fucking guy, he's like the college version of Arthur Smith, but somehow worse. And now we don't have to listen to how great of a offensive mind he is. Obviously not. You had what most people projected to be a first-round talent in quarterback with Drew Allar, who, by all accounts, when you watch the kid play, has every NFL-level skill that you could want. The size, right, the arm strength, the touch, the accuracy. And here we are.
Mobile.
Four years later, they still can't put it all together. And they still don't have, even going out into the transfer portal and getting Ross and Hudson and Pena, they still don't have a competent passing offense that was anything close to passing, right? No. And they end up playing a struggling Northwestern team that's devoid of pretty much all talent top to bottom and getting waxed.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing that's breaking my heart is I really, really wanted to see Aller without Franklin. And he's done for the season. And it's like, mother, like,
no chance of redemption.
No chance. Like, he could. I wanted to see him throw. I was like, it's so frustrating because losing him and like, I mean, okay, losing Franklin's cool, but who cares about this team at the moment? I think that it's over.
Well,
it would have been hard to see Aller.
He might get granted a medical red shirt and we'll see him back at Penn State again under a new regime next year.
Maybe.
There's no way this guy's going to confidently declare for the NFL draft now because his draft stock just went in the shitter from potential first rounder to shit. You'd be lucky to get drafted, you know, round four, round three at this rate. The one that really sucks for is
he'd be lucky to get drafted, period, at this rate.
Nick Singleton going back to school for this. Like that. Fuck.
Right. Running for 2.9 a carry versus Northwestern.
Yeah.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah, we can't devise a way to get our best running back in space.
They can't do anything, dude. They have three, like, college wide receivers. You know what I mean?
Ross Hudson and Pena aren't bad wide receivers, man.
No, they are good college wide receivers.
Those are starters on most Power Four teams. Like, right. Those are starting caliber wide receivers. They just, the offense is just gross.
You have two, like, you have one good running back, and when you have one super athletic, superstar style running back, and you can't figure out how to dominate with them. And then you have a quarterback with a ridiculous arm that you won't let throw the football. Like, what are you doing? I hate them. I hate them so much.
Can't get the running game going, so we only have 20 attempts for Alar this game. That's what we devised. Nice.
Maybe the running game can't get going because you only have 20 attempts. Yeah. So, smart.
Sometimes you got to pass to open up the run, you know?
Yeah.
It does work both ways.
Dude, they're so freaking bad. So, thank God he got fired. I hate them.
Adios.
Deuces. All right, next one.
Can't wait till he's the next head coach at the University of Iowa. Yay.
Yo, that would be something, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
I'd pick a new team.
Dude, you going from, like, not throwing the ball to going to not throwing the ball?
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
All right, Georgia versus Auburn. Georgia kind of slowly squeaks this one out.
Yeah, they didn't look like they were in a lot of trouble. They just kind of did their thing. They did Georgia things, which is always just Georgia, you know?
I mean, they were down early. It was like 10-3 at halftime, and then they slowly came back and won the game. But, other than the – I don't know if you saw that timeout situation, but
– Right. Yeah, now fake timeouts are the thing.
Miss clapping my hands over there, but it's, you know – whatever, dude.
Kirby Smart's kind of shady like that, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the fucking visor, too. And it's not even a good visor. It's not like a Lane Kiffin visor. It's like those old, like, 60s golf visors. It's just fucking gross.
It is gross.
Makes me not like him.
Thanks. Sorry. It was a game.
I hope somebody in the offseason just pays Cam Coleman a shit ton of money to actually go to a real program.
That'd be cool. I mean, they got so many wide receivers there. And it's
like, just... Ohio State doesn't need them, but just back up the Briggs truck, put Cam Coleman and Jeremiah Smith on the same team, on the same field at the same time. Should be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Julian saying to throw for like 9,000 yards.
You know, I'm all about that. I mean, you're preaching the choir over here. I love every minute of that.
Like, if you got Cam Coleman and Jeremiah Smith on the field together.
They would still run it up the middle, though.
I would say you deserve to be fired if you call a fucking halfback dive ever.
You would, though. You would. Ryan Day is a turd as well, so, you know, it is what it is.
Well, after he loses to Michigan for, like, the 77th year in a row.
Our state will riot.
He's going to be the only coach that's going to have like multiple national championships and still get fired just because he can't beat Michigan. It's like, you know, we don't really give a shit about the national. That's cool and all. National championship. Yeah, fuck it.
You want it back to back? Don't care. Fired. Fired. You lost to freaking Michigan again.
Would be ironic, but also hilarious.
That would be really funny. Speaking of which, last game I wanted to talk about is Michigan getting spanked by USC.
Yeah, you didn't see that one coming, right?
Not getting spanked. I could kind of see them losing. They're a weird program right now.
But... Yeah, they do struggle mightily trying to throw the ball, which, you know, I don't think Bryce Underwood, watch him throw the football. Like, he looks good at it. I think it's just a lot of this Penn State shit is bleeding over to Michigan, too. Like, it's just...
Yeah, they're a similar style program where they're just like, hey, we are going to not lose. And then you play a team that actually can beat you and you lose. It's weird.
Yeah.
It works real good when you're, like, dominating the lower competition, but...
Justice Haynes being banged up and... in and out of the lineup, mostly out there, especially in the second half. That doesn't help him when your entire offense revolves around him, essentially.
His 70-yard touchdowns every week.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, that kind of hurts. But it did sound like he's playing next week, so that's good to see. It sounded like it was precautionary. Didn't sound too crazy. He got banged up, but they just kind of held him out.
Nope. So. For the USC side, though, it was good to see my guys, man. Myava and Makai Lemon still doing their thing.
Right.
big right. time game in the Big Ten. You know, they do get it at home, which also just frustrating. Absolutely. Just, I mean, USC's 5-1. They just beat fucking Michigan, and I'm watching parts of that game, and they have the Coliseum, like they have whole sections of the Coliseum blocked off. Like, LA fans, just LA fans, Florida fans, like, they just don't fucking deserve football teams. I'm sorry. They just don't. They don't deserve good programs. Like, we got Nebraska and Iowa and Wisconsin. Like, they pack fucking stadiums around here to watch 4-4 football, you know, to watch an offense that throws, you know, 30 times and we get 45 yards. That's, we sell the fuck out to watch those things. They actually get good teams, and people just don't show up to their games. Miami's good. That stadium's usually fucking half empty. USC's good. That stadium's I fucking hate it, man. It's just so frustrating. They don't deserve nice things out there. They just don't.
They really don't. It is funny to watch, though. Oh, man. Yeah, that is
like they put these whole, like, tarp things up with, like, USC logos on it so it doesn't look as bad, like it's empty. And I'm like, there ain't nobody sitting in those seats, man. Like, what's a Coliseum hold? Like 60,000? You got like 30 here. This is fucking gross.
Oh my God. That's too funny. That's brutal.
And most of them fans are probably Michigan fans that were like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, it's fall in Michigan. Fuck this. Let's go out to LA and watch
it. LA.
Yeah. Go check out the beaches. See what's up. Yeah. It pisses me off.
You're funny. All right, well, let's move on to waivers. Let's just finish. Let's wrap up there. Move on to waivers. Got some guys today. So first thing I want to talk about is quarterbacks. So I got two of them for you today. So the first guy, both guys, probably they're both CFF guys. But this first one is Caden Creel. He's the quarterback for Jacksonville State. He didn't play the first, looks like, two games. And then came in the past three, I think he started. Nope, past two games he really looks like he started. Yeah. But he comes in, he throws the first game, he took 17 attempts, completed 9 of them, 52%. Not great. 109 yards. But then rushed 23 times for 161 yards and a tutty. So that's nice. And this next game, he comes out again. Throws 17 times, completes 13. So he has a 76.5% completion rate. Another 129 yards, not great. But then runs again for 24 attempts for 132 yards and a tutty. So homie's out there running. So that's pretty cool. I believe he's a sophomore. Yep, he's a sophomore. He's only 8% rostered. So he should be out there. And then he's got a pretty good, it's an okay schedule coming up. So he's got, what was it? Yeah, Middle Tennessee, UTEP, Kennesaw State, Florida International, Western Kentucky. So nothing really crazy. So interesting.
Yep. Just sophomore. Getting fantasy points, right? But it
especially coming up to our playoffs, if you're going to get a guy running for 24 times a game, over 100 yards a game, and our quarterback was a spot. Any throwing on top of that's nice. You know what I mean? That's a very, very nice baseline. So interested about him. And then the next guy is, his name is Brock Lowry. He's another sophomore QB from Western Michigan. He is 4% rostered. And what was it? He started all year. But he's really turned it on the last four games. So he played Toledo and scored, 28 fantasy points, it looks like, in this league. So, yeah, he had, what was it, 16 completions for 200 yards. No touchdowns that game, but he had 18 attempts for 50 on the ground. And it looks like every week, so he's had 18 attempts for 50, 14 for 52, 15 for 92, 13 for 108 in a tutty. Those are all his rushing attempts the past 4 weeks. And then he's had 200, 143, 136, 163, and 241 passing yards past four games. And then a touchdown and pretty much every single game passing. So he's throwing some, and He does have a good completion percentage the last 3 weeks. It's 75, 72, and 85. So he's completing okay. And definitely the rushing baseline is at least decent. So that's nice to see as well. And he's really low rostered at 4%. So that's nice.
Yep. These CFF guys just floating out there, right? These are
floating out there. Quick, cheap, easy production.
Yep.
So those are two CFF easy production wide quarterbacks for the week. If you were looking at somebody to pick up for your stretch run, as a nice rushing baseline, at least that's the nice thing I like about having the rushing baseline. If they're going to suck at throwing, at least run.
Right. At least run for it.
At least run.
All right. Be like Air Force.
Air Force. So all right, moving into the wide receivers, we got a few guys tonight. So first one I bring up is Jeremiah Kroger. He is wide receiver from South Florida. He is a true freshman. He didn't really do much the first few weeks. Three games, he had one target in two games and he had zero receptions. But the last two games, last game he had four targets, four receptions, 75 yards and a tutty. In this past game versus North Texas, he had four targets, four receptions, 94 yards and two touchdowns. He is 6'3", 209, so he's a big boy. And he's a true freshman, so came out. He's looked good the past 2 weeks, so that's been nice.
These are the kind of guys I'm looking for tonight, buddy. I got one more pickup.
Oh, okay.
One more pickup to make. Needs to be a wide receiver, though.
Needs to be a wide receiver? Okay, we got a few of them. So he's one. He's had two big weeks in a row, especially being a true freshman. That's kind of cool.
And a program that's getting a lot of notoriety, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still in contention for that playoff spot for sure.
Ooh. All right. The next one is Teddy Hoffman. He's from North Carolina State. He is another true freshman. He's only 3% rostered. And he really hasn't, I mean, outside this last week, he hasn't really had like a dominant performance. But week one, he comes out and he has five receptions. He had five receptions for 93 yards. Then he had like one reception the next week for 6 yards. Then four receptions like first Duke a few weeks later for 5 yards. And this past week he had two for 47. So he hasn't really dominated, but he's gotten 13 receptions total on the year, 155 yards. So I don't think he qualifies for year 1-0. I don't think he was a high enough recruit, but I mean, at least like to see them hitting year 1-0 metrics that we still look for. Regardless if you technically qualify or not, I'm still looking for those metrics, because if they're going to apply to the higher recruits, it's even cooler to see when you're doing a lower recruit. I like to see it no matter what. So he's at least up over the 100. So that's nice. So young guy hitting it, 6'1", 180 on North Carolina State. So another decent program. And I think that's all I got for about him. Next one is Tristan Gardner. He's at Missouri State, so it's a really low tier school. He's 0% rostered. He's been productive all year long. Nothing crazy though. He had two receptions for 39 yards, three for 26, two for 39, two for 44, two for 23, and three for 70. So nothing crazy. Scored two touchdowns so far. Very like lower tier school in Missouri State, but comes out immediately and is contributing. So that's kind of cool. I'm not really looking to pick this guy up, but I would probably watch list him, and maybe if I'm on an unlimited budget, snag him before the year ends, just to see how he does next year. If I'm in unlimited waivers, but again, watch this guy. I like to see how he's producing immediately, and maybe he'll transfer up. Maybe he'll just stay there and dominate. Who knows? But cool to see a young guy be contributing every single week.
Yeah. Yeah. You love to snatch up these freshmen. Unless you're competing. You know what I mean?
Correct. And again, also too is we're getting closer to the end of the year. We only got a few weeks left. So jumping a little bit early in on some of these guys, whether it's this week or just watching them for the next 2-3 weeks and then grabbing them before the season ends and they slip to supplementals. If you're not competing at all, I'm replacing my dudes that already aren't going to be here next year. If I can't trade them, I'm just dumping them.
Get rid of them.
Yeah. So Ed Small is my next one. He is wide receiver TCU. He's another true freshman. So we're starting to hit the later in the season where these guys have been building up stats. So it's nice to see these wide receivers start to come in. But he started off, did nothing week one. Week two, he had 6 for 45 and 2 touchdowns. Week three, 2 for 18. Week four, 1 for 11, 5, 1 for 11. And then this past week, he had 13 targets, 6 for 101, and nope, no touchdown. Thought he had a touchdown. So decent target share right there. I believe he's a slot guy, but he's a TCU wide receiver, but he's 6'2", 210 and true freshman coming in, putting up those numbers so far. So he's been semi-productive every single week, but he's a wide receiver, so that goes up and down. So that's to be expected. But yeah. 16 receptions on the year, 186 yards. That's not bad for a true freshman.
Yeah, pretty decent passing offense, too, to have exposure to TCU. Yeah. You know, whatever we think about NFL wide receivers from TCU, the college ones seem to do all right.
Yeah, for 1,000%. And if anything, sometimes there's people that believe in them. So, bye. next guy is a Nebraska wide receiver. His name is Isaiah Mosey. He is, I saw him on Sleeper listed as a running back, but Fantrax isn't listed as a wide receiver, and he's really caught more passes than he has rush attempts, but he's got a few rush attempts on his resume as well. So he is, how tall is he? He's 6'2", 210. And he started off game one with 1 catch for 2 yards, game two, 3 for 65, game three, 3 for 26. Didn't have any catches the next two games, and then this past game, he had 2 for 10. So he is up to 9 receptions for 103 yards total, and then he has 10 rushing attempts for 32 yards, and he's running for 5.3 a carry and 11.4 a reception as well. So you kind of get a little bit of both production. He's in Nebraska, so and they're interesting passing attack, but young guy, another young guy, at least getting involved. So he's somebody at least I'm starring. I don't know if I'm picking him up immediately, but
right.
He's 2% rostered. He's out there, young dude. These are guys I at least want to be aware of who they are.
And then, noted.
next guy, I actually do. I have watched this guy, and I do like him. His name is Tanuk Hines. He's from USC. He started off basically as the wide receiver three as a freshman. So yeah, for game one comes out, he has 1 catch for 11 yards. Game two, he has 3 for 21. Game two, three, he has 2 for 23, and then 1 for 7, 2 for 33, and 1 for 8. So not crazy production on a weekly basis yet, but that's all added up to 10 receptions for 103 yards and a touchdown. So he's over those 1 year 1-0s marks. I can't believe if he actually qualifies or not, if he's a high enough recruit, but he's over those marks. So that looks nice. And watching him play, like, homie, he's fun to watch. Like, he's strong, he's physical, and it's not really often that Lincoln Riley lets the freshman do too much, unless, especially not like a 5-star, you know what I mean? So cool to see him out there.
Right. Let him go.
Yeah.
Definitely an offense that you want some exposure to.
1,000%. 1,000%.
I think Mekhi Lemon's moving on after this year, boys and girls.
Yeah, I would hope so. Next guy is Raiden's Vines Bright. He's been pretty good week to week. He's got week two, he had 2 for 52. 1 for 5, 2 for 10, 3 for 29, and 3 for 50. So he's getting a little bit involved as a true freshman. He's got 11 total receptions on the year for 146 yards. He's got one rushing attempt for 1 yard. That means much. But he is 6'1 for 200 pounds. I believe he's pretty athletic, too. I have to look at the database again. He's 8% rostered, so he's a little bit more rostered than the other guys. But he made some noise in the offseason, and he's actually getting out there and doing some stuff.
Good deal, man. I'm adding these. I got some choices to make tonight.
You're going to have some choices to make. I look up some film, see who you really want. But these are some guys that are at least out there and young and doing stuff. Very last one is Donovan. Oh, I don't remember how to pronounce his last name. Alugabodi or whatever. Alubodi. He's a Missouri wide receiver. He came out first week. He had 4 for 37. Second week, 3 for 29. Didn't do anything the next 2 weeks. And then 1 for 12 and 3 for 55. So that brings his total to 11 receptions for 133 yards and a touchdown. He played in this past game. And who was it versus? Was it Alabama? Yeah. Alabama. Yep. Dude, yeah, he had two big contested catches at the end of the game. He had one going down the middle of the field. It was huge. It was really big. It was like, I think 3 minutes left of the game. Big catch. Took him almost all the way down to like the 5-yard line. Then he caught the next play, caught the touchdown. It was a nice little route. Kind of a blown coverage, but he sat down in the zone. And it was wide open right in the middle of the zone. So it was smart on him to stop. And then he got hit for that touchdown. And then the next drive had a huge contested catch on the end of the sideline as well. So cool seeing them trust a freshman in those what's it called, moments. Plus, he was a pretty high recruit. I believe he was like the 11th wide receiver in the 247. So he was pretty highly recruited. So
no slouch.
See him do something. Although, according to Campus Scant, he's not very athletic. But, I mean, yeah, he looked kind of athletic out there. At least he was getting down the field and definitely mossing dudes. But I'd like to see a little bit more separation. But he was at least mossing them. So that was cool. He's jumping up there.
That's good. In college, you can be Keon Coleman. Apparently, in the NFL, you can't.
Yeah, it don't work so well. So, but I mean, at least he's getting some production. So, and young, maybe he'll grow. Maybe he'll get a little better.
People do get faster, you know. 18-year-old kids do know how to, you know, get faster. It's weird.
Yeah, they, you know, spend a year or two in a weight room and shockingly get better.
Who knew?
Yeah. All right, next guy is a redshirt freshman. We moved on to running backs, by the way. This guy, he was actually on my list 2 weeks ago. And before, I went on my trip and went MIA for 2 weeks. But he was on my list 2 weeks ago. I was going to talk about him. And that's because I wrote down his roster percentage. It was 5% at the time. But he went nuts this past game, and now he's up to 17. So you could probably check on him at least still. He might be around. He might not. Let me look at my league. Nope, he's rostered in every single league now that I'm in. But his name is King Miller. He is the USC running back. Redshirt freshman, like I said. He is running for 10.7 yards per rush on the year. And this past game versus Michigan, he had took the ball 18 times for 158 yards and a touchdown. He also had 2 targets, 2 receptions for 14 yards. So there, Waylon Jordan, I think, is missing at least 4 weeks from what I saw. And then I believe the other one got hurt. Eli, I think, got hurt as well.
Yep.
So they lost their 2 starting running backs. So it looks like it might be King Miller for the next few weeks. And homie's been balling. What is it? Let me look up his recent games.
Even when Jordan and Eli Sanders were healthy, it was kind of a split backfield that went mostly to Jordan because Jordan's played really, really well. But Sanders had a big enough fucking role. Sanders is done for the year, like toasted for the year.
Oh, he's done for the year?
Yeah, he's out for the whole year.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, King over here, week one comes out, four carries, 80 yards and a touchdown. Week two comes out, 3 carries, 55 yards and a touchdown. Comes out week 4, 4 carries for 17 yards. Yeah. So, and then this past week, he goes out and goes 18 for 158.
So, well, I need a wide receiver, but
I know you don't need
King Miller. King Miller's out here. So yeah, we just put the claim in. Who gives a
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, it's interesting right there, man. Homies look good, and he's now inherited, it looks like, the number one role. So, on a good program. So, again, yes, 17% rostered, I think it is. Let me look at it again. It's already up. Never mind. It's up to 21. So, it was 17 earlier today when I looked at it. It's up to 21 now.
And when my waiver goes through here in a few hours, it will be up to, you know, like 50, 60.
Yeah, so it's going to keep growing because everyone's realizing that he was balling before, and yeah, he's definitely been balling now that he's taking the job. So,
let's roll, yeah, baby. King now, Miller.
Yeah, King Miller. Kyrie. All right, so next guy, I have another running back, Ja'Kyrian, I don't know, Turner, true freshman from Pitt. This is kind of potentially a this year play / maybe future. He's actually starting to, so it comes out week one, 6 carries, 26 yards. Week two, 4 carries, 9 yards. Week three, 6 carries, 36 yards. So we a little bit of like little bit of eating into to Reed, but Reed's also kind of been hurt. So I think the replay last week, I can't remember. You're muted, Mike.
He had a monster game with the last receiving. Yeah. Yeah, it was like 8 for 155 in the receiving game. Like 40 yards on the ground. Week.
Yeah. How about last week?
The week before?
Yeah, Pitt football.
I don't know what he was doing. I'll find out for you.
Appreciate it. Louisville. Sorry to everyone listening to this.
It happens, right?
They didn't look like he played the week before, so it was just Turner. Yep. So they kind of split it up evenly kind of the week before, but I mean, no, that was wrong one.
Yeah, when they played Boston College a couple weeks ago, Desmond Reed did not play.
He did not play. Okay, so this is Reed's first week back.
Yep.
But either way, Turner's what's it called? Role has been growing. So yeah, from Boston College, he moved up to 12 carries instead of his 6 like tops the few weeks prior. Moved up 12, and then this past week, even with Reed there, and in a close game because they only won 34-31. He moved up to 10 carries, and then he also had 5 targets. So 5 targets, 4 receptions, 34 yards. So it's kind of, I mean, Reed only had, I think, like 12 or 13 carries, right? I believe. Yep. Yeah, so it was kind of split almost evenly between the two. Reed had more targets, but either way, like, Turner's been involved. And then the big thing for me is next year because Reed's probably gone. I think he's out of eligibility, right? I want to say he is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Pretty sure he's a senior.
Yeah.
So, again, this Turner. Well, looks this might be JUCO. He might have another year.
He's listed as a senior right now. So.
Okay. But, all right, I'd vet that. see if he actually is out of eligibility. But if he is, then Turner might be the play for next year because this offense has always given us at least production, running back production. So I'd be interested in him towards the end of the year. I'd really look into Reed's eligibility, see if he is coming out, make sure of that, and then maybe scoop up Turner one of the last 2 weeks of the year because he's a true freshman, starting to get trusted in this running game, looking decent, yards per carry wise. And then if he takes over next year, man, that's been a productive offense running the football. So interested in him potentially for the future.
Well, he's a true senior, though. He's on the younger side of being a senior. So looks like we got no funny red shirts or anything like that that went on.
Yeah, I didn't see any either. So not positive on his eligibility. I could have sworn he was like a 5-year senior, but I guess he's not.
Nope. He was a true freshman in 2022. Entered the transfer portal out of Western Carolina.
Gotcha.
Then right to Pitt. Which is surprising too, because I didn't hear anything about him really, like his true sophomore year at Pitt. Yeah, it wasn't until last year to the other guy that fuck I forget his name that was in front of him got deemed ineligible like right before the season starts. Then Desmond Reed took over that job and was all him. Yeah, went nuts.
Yeah, so I don't know. Again, it's more of a he'd be more of a play for a future, but interested and definitely keeping tabs on him. Next guy is Chris Johnson Jr., CJ2K's son.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a run he had this last week, too.
Yeah. So he's a redshirt sophomore for SMU. He's been running at 8.1 yards per carry this year. He's kind of small. He's 184 pounds, but he's a burner.
Just like his daddy.
Like his dad. He's only 6% rostered, but, I mean, dude's fast. So who knows?
What's that longest yard? He's so fast, he makes other guys look not fast.
Basically, that's pretty much the analysis I have on him. He's so fast. So we'll see on him. But he's actually low roster percentage. He's only at 6% rostered. He's running at a good yards per carry. He's probably if he ever goes to the combine, he's gonna run fast. It has got the bloodline, so I mean, he's probably got some NFL upside just from the name alone. But who knows?
Sometimes too, I think just with the names, like we push them down in the back of our minds too. Like you know, we should be hyping them up, but we've seen a lot of like Frank Gore Jr., like those kind of guys.
Yeah,
we get kind of who cares. And then the whole James Cook, Dalvin Cook thing, like really, really shit on James, like as his own person. Like he's a, James is a fucking hell of a running back as we're seeing right now. But I just remember that narrative coming out too while he was at Georgia. It was like, he's only up here because his last name's Cook and he's Dalvin's brother, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, he's his own man. He's his own man. Maybe Chris Johnson Jr. is his own fucking man, even though he runs as fast and making highlight plays now like his dad used to do all the time.
Right, right. And then like Frank Gore Jr. was like kind of like his dad, but not as talented, but also just not fast. So cool. A little different when they're like ridiculous speed. I'm a little bit more interested when you're running at 8.1 yards per carry and you're fast and you're known for being fast, like your family. So
yes,
definitely interested in that. I mean, worst case scenario, either you're a UDFA or get into league late draft pick, and then you break off a run in preseason, and goodbye. I now have a fourth round pick for free.
Yes.
I probably got him off the waivers. So
yes, sir.
Yep, exactly. So I'm turning and burning with that guy. He's definitely one I'm interested in, just the name alone. Because someone's going to probably buy. All he has to do is one thing, and someone's probably buying it off that name.
I'm with you.
So, last guy is Will Henderson. He's a redshirt freshman. He's on UTSA. His game log, I'm pulling it up, sorry. He started off the year, he had 7 for 12, not great. And then he had 549, 11 for 33, 7 for 23, 10 for 42. In this past game, 5 for 115 and 2 touchdowns. So he's more of a stash for next year as well. He ran for, 6.1 yards per carry last year? No, 6.7 yards per carry last year. And he's running for 6.1 this year. Robert Henry has been going nuts all year. But he looks like he's going. I mean, I think he's out of eligibility. He declared for the NFL this past year and then came back because he got all the JUCO stuff. So I think he's completely out this year. So he's going to the NFL, and plus he's been going nuts. So he's got to be going to the NFL this year. And then I don't know if Will's going to take the job, but he's been efficient and this running game has been smashing. So definitely one I'm looking towards the end of the year. See how he's still doing and see if it's still just a 1-2 type thing. And he's the number one backup basically. And then if he is, then I'm trying to grab him before he goes to supplementals. So
that would sneak him in.
So he's one I'm tabbing trying to sneak onto my rosters. Or heck, if I'm completely just rebuilding, I'm just starting to grab these guys now, these lotto tickets, and just hoping that next year that guy moves on and he does take the job. And next thing you know, got a decent piece. So,
hell yeah.
That's one guy right there. And then the last topic is the tight ends. Yeah. So I actually got two tight ends for you today.
Okay. I'm ears. Let's go.
Really don't look at them too often, but I got two of them today. So, first guy is Richie Anderson. He's a tight end from Fresno State. He's actually on bye this next week. So I wouldn't pick him up probably this week because I don't know if anybody will because he's not going to score any points. He's on bye. But he's had 8 targets the past 2 games. First 2 games, he didn't really do too much. The last next 2, he's 8 targets. So seems like him and the quarterback are now clicking. EJ Warner or whatever. It looks like those two are clicking now. So first game was 8 targets, 7 receptions, 67 yards. And then this past week was 8 targets, 6 receptions, or 7 receptions last week, 6 receptions this week, 70 yards this week. So decent production there. He's only 3% rostered. And how tall is he? I don't remember. He's 6'4", 255, so not terrible height. But again, don't really care. I'm just looking for production out of the tight end. And if he's going to get 8 targets every single week,
sign awesome. Me up.
Yeah, yep. 3% rostered. Who cares, dude? That's fantastic. So not hating on 8 targets at all. So hopefully that sticks. Again, probably not grabbing him this week because he's on bye, and I only really roster as many tight ends as I need to, maybe one extra one. So wouldn't waste a spot this week. But after this week goes, I'd probably pick him up on waivers because you're not even going to fight for him, especially on unlimited. You're not fighting for him because no one's going to care about him because he's on bye, so he's not going to score any points. No, everyone's going to be looking for the highest score this week. So maybe I try to slip him on next week for $0 and then grab maybe a guy who can contribute. And then the last guy is Bowden Grown. He's tight end from Kansas. He hasn't really done much most of the season. So I think this is his first year at Kansas too. Let me look at that real fast before I start talking. Yeah. So he's been Rice the past 3 years, first year at Kansas. So one target, one reception, for 3 yards, week 1. 2 targets, 2 receptions for 53 yards, week 2. 1 target, 1 reception, 24 yards, 1 for 7 the next week. And the past 3 weeks is really kind of starting to little uptick. So we got 5 targets, 5 receptions, 84 yards and a touchdown. Then he had 3 targets, 2 receptions, 63 yards. And this past week, he went nuts and he had 14 targets, 13 receptions, 76 yards and a touchdown. So he's been on the upswing kind of slowly throughout the year, building, and then this past week went nuts. So don't think he's getting 14 targets every single week, but they also might have found something. So he might still level off at more of the 5-6 every single week now on a consistent basis versus the 1-2s.
So that's still better than most of the tight ends in college football.
Yeah, and if you can give me five to eight targets every single week as the garbage tight end and the landscape, I mean, I'm thrilled. So he is big and athletic from what I remember because he was kind of a Debbie thing for a second. He's 6'4", 240. He's not that big as I thought he was, but pretty athletic from what I remember. But, man, if you can ever get 14 targets again, if that's in the realm of possibilities, that's insane. So,
yes, sir. That's a lot of targets.
That's a lot of targets, especially for a tight end. So, got two of them for once. Throw some tight ends in there.
Usually we're at 0.
Yeah, usually I'm not even looking.
Pass.
Straight up this pass. But found 2. He was only 7% rostered as well. So he's out there.
Sneaky.
Yeah. Yeah, 14 targets, 7% rostered. Again, this is why I do not draft tight ends or care about them at all, because I could find a guy like this with 14 targets, week 7? They're always here. Somebody's going to be available, even if it's a 3-week stream. Who cares?
Yes, sir.
I'm taking the freebies. But other than that, man, that's all I got for some waivers. Pull up real fast the week next week. See if we have any good games.
Oh yeah, we got a few, man. So Friday night we actually get two pretty watchable games. Surprising 4-1 Louisville goes and plays undefeated number 2 Miami. And then we also got a Big Ten matchup worthy of watching, Nebraska at Minnesota, right? Let's see what comes out of that one.
Speaking of which, I didn't realize it started Tuesday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that, bro. We got 3 games going on right now.
Yes, sir. And then on Saturday, LSU goes to Vanderbilt, right? Could we get another Diego Pavia upset?
Bro, I'm rooting for it. He's got me all about the Pavia. So
one I'm kind of interested in, undefeated Georgia Tech going to play a pretty tough and scrappy Duke team that can surprise you. So we might get a nice upset there. The rest of the slate, Ole Miss Georgia is going to be the one that's headlining most of that. And then Tennessee, Alabama is your big national night game. And then of course the yearly rivalry, USC, Notre Dame. Please, let's go Trojans. I know your fans won't support you. You can't even fill up your stadium.
We'll support you.
Yeah, we're supporting you. Please give Notre Dame a 3rd loss. Knock them out of the playoffs for good.
Yeah. We actually have – I didn't realize Utah is 5-1. So we got 5-1 Utah versus BYU is undefeated.
Yep.
So that's an interesting game. That might be a shootout with Dampier over there.
Yep, we got a pretty nice slate this upcoming
week. Yeah, there was one more. Oh, Texas A&M, Arkansas. Even though Arkansas is like 2-4, I mean, they're scrappy, man. So
dangerous offense for sure.
You got your boy over there, Mr. Washington.
No, I can't. No, I don't want that guy. Listen, after he cost them the game a couple weeks back, I'm done. He's not mine anymore.
Bro, he scored me some points like a week ago or two. I don't remember what it was. I was like, hey, look at Mike's boy. I picked him up for you.
Can't fumble the game away, literally.
Yeah, that's fair.
Still be my guy. We're done with you.
He's moved on fast. Oh, my God. But yeah, that's about it for major matchups. Cool. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for talking to me yet again, bro. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. We got it in the bag. I'm ready to lay my head down to the pillow, though.
Same.
I need some Z's.
Yeah. And everybody, I mean, I know you're in this feed, but make sure you check out all the other podcasts on the feed and check out the website. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and YouTube and all the socials. Mike, what's your Twitter handle again?
At Iowa Michael, which is me shitposting or trying to argue with somebody or just reposting all the South Harmon stuff. That is all that account is ever used for. I used it one time to just send Fizz something about Angel Reese being in Victoria's Secret, and now my timeline is just filled with, you know, baddies left and right. Just the algorithm got me, bro.
I mean,
it's fucked me up.
Thing about Twitter.
No. All the things that get me in trouble in life.
Dude, the algorithm's ridiculous.
But, yes.
Make sure you guys follow us on everything and like and leave us a comment if you can. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. So until next week, guys.
We'll see you.
Peace.